All right, here we go.
Okay, good morning. Weekly share from Masechet Sota, sponsored by David and Paula Bamser and OMO Construction, Building Futures. And the breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch. We have Nishmas, Fega Bas Chaim and Shum Ben Zev, and Zev Ben David, and Sarah Bas Shalom, and Chaim Ben Yoshua, and Idol Bas Moshe Yosef. We are on Sota Daf Dalet. We're going to start the second to last line on Gilmol Amid Beis, where we left off. And let's just review. It's a good idea. Now we're only three or four dapim into the Masechet, or three dapim into the Masechet. Let's just review what we're talking about. I'm reading out from the Aruch HaShulchan, which has a very nice, terse summary of the halachas we're talking about. Ikar din sota kachu. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, this is what we're talking about. This is what the sota is all about. Kishimekane la bifnei shnei edim kisherim. If a husband warns his wife, he suspects his wife of adultery, and he warns his wife until in front of two kosher edim. We talked on Daf Beis about how many edim we need. We need two kosher edim. V'omer la al tistri imploni. And he says to her, don't seclude yourself with that guy, with Plony, with John Doe. The Avralze, and she violated that. Vinistira Imo, and she secludes herself with that specific individual. Vishasa Kedei Tuma, and she stays with him the amount of time that it would take for them to violate Eshes Ish, for them to actually be intimate together. We're going to talk today, that's going to be the topic of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, is how long is that time? So the Aruch HaShulchan already jumps to the answer. He says that the Chachamim say this is the amount of time it would take to fry an egg on a medium fire and to swallow it. Okay, we'll see all the different shitas of what that means. So then, Harei Zu Asura Al Baila Al Chetishta Mai Mamarim Vivda Kadavar. So by virtue of the fact that we now have Edim, Edim, that's a different topic. But we have Edim that he warned her, and then she was secluded with him, and secluded enough time, so as a result, she can no longer be with her husband until we check whether or not she had been unfaithful to her husband with this man when she was secluded with him, and we do that by drinking the Meisota, and that's the way it worked in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's fine. He goes on to say, so you need two edim on the kino, you need two edim on the stira. That was the machlokas on Daf Beis. And then that's the summary of where we are. So how long is that stira period? How long is that period of time that they have to stay together? So first the Gemara is going to just clarify on the bottom of Gimel and Beis that in the last few lines we've been talking about edus rishona, edus shnia. We're going to clarify Eidos Rishona is the Eidos of Kinoi, of warning her not to seclude, and the Eidos Shnia is the Eidos of Stira, of her actually being in the room together with the suspected adulterer. Tana Rabbanan, our rabbis learned, Ezu hi Eidos HaRishona. What are we referring to when we refer? What are we referring to when we refer to the Eidos HaRishona? The first Eidos, Zu Eidos Stira. I'm sorry, I misspoke. The Eidos HaRishona is the Eidos Stira, the Eidos that they were secluded together, Eidos Achrona, Zu Eidos Tuma. Eidos Achrona is Eidos that they actually were intimate together, which is not what we're talking about. We're talking about Eidos Stira, the Eidos that they were secluded together. And that's where this Gemara picks up. Vakama Shir Stira. How long is that time that they have to be secluded together for it to count and for her then to be usher to her husband? Kedei Tuma. The amount of time that they that it would take for them to be intimate together. The Gemara now is going to kind of drill down in four separate descriptions how long this time is. So Kedei Tuma, the time of intimacy. Kedei Bia, the time of the actual conjugal act. Kedei Ha'ara, now we're getting more specific. So generally speaking, when we talk about arayos, you're over an erva. A person violates an iser erva, whether it be with a family member, with a eshes ish, like we're talking about here, with ha'ara, meaning the Gemara is describing how much of a sexual act is required. Rashi explains ha'ara as kedei neshikas ever ba'oso makom, the time that the male's private parts touch the female's private parts. Other Rishonim talk about it as the insertion of the corona, the very top of the male's private part into the woman's private part. But it means a very minimal amount, meaning it doesn't require full penetration to the greatest extent. It requires literally the touching of the male's private part to the female private part. That's ha'ara. And the Gemara learns that in Yevamos from because it by in the Psukim by Nida it says Kedei Ha'ara. It says the Ha'ara, that word is used, and then they make a Gezer Shava from Nida to all the Arayos in the Torah. So that's the amount of Bia that's required. And then how much is that time? So Kedei HaKafas Dekel Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Yishmael describes that as the amount of time it would take for you to run around a tree. He had to pick some kind of metric to describe how long that is. The amount of time it would take to run around a tree, which is not very long. Whether it's a big tree or a small tree, it's not going to take very long for you to run around the tree. Start at one point and then get around in a circle to the point where you stop. The rest of this kind of half of Amud is going to talk about different metrics to determine what is that Kedei Ha'ara. Now, importantly, Tosfos points out here, the very top Tosfos says, Kama Shir Stira, what is this shir? Yerushalmi, so he quotes the Talmud, Yerushalmi is saying, Ko'alein Shirin, all of these Shirin that we're describing, Achar Hatara Sinar. This is describing how long it takes to perform the conjugal act, but that doesn't include the time it takes for the man and woman to remove their clothing. So removing a clothing, that's a separate, you start the stopwatch once they have their clothing removed and they're looking to actually perform the act. We're not including the time it takes for Hatara Sinar for removing the clothing. Okay. So, good. So Rabbi Yishmael described this amount of time as the time it would take to go around the tree. Rav Lazar Omer Kadei Meziga Sakos, the amount of time it would take to prepare a cup of wine by diluting the wine. In the time of the Gemara, their wine always came very thick, and in order to drink the wine, you'd have to add water, you'd have to dilute it. So the amount of time it would take to dilute a cup of wine, also not very long, because you just have to pour a little water into the wine. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Kedei Lishtoso. Rabbi Yeshua says the amount of time is the time it would take to drink that cup of wine. Benazai Omer Kedei Litzlos Beitza. Benazai says that it's the amount of time it would take to fry an egg. Rabbi Akiva Omer, which is a little longer, I guess, right? Rabbi Akiva Omer Kedei Lagoma, the amount of time it would take to actually swallow that egg. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beser Omer Kedei Ligmoa Shalosh Beitzim Zu Achar Zu. He says the amount of time it would take to swallow three such eggs, one after another. Rav Lazar ben Yirmiya Omer Kedei Likshor Gardei Nima. He says the amount of time it would take to tie two strands like of yarn together or two pieces of thread together. Chanin ben Pinchas Omer Kedei Shetoshit Yado Latoch Pia Lito Kisam. The amount of time it would take for a woman to put her hand in her mouth in order to get a splinter out. They would use splinters for toothpicks, and it might get caught in her tooth. So the amount of time it would take to just pluck that out of her tooth. Plimo omer kadeshitoshit yado lisa lito kikar. So he says that it's the amount of time it takes for a woman to place her hand into a basket to pull out a loaf of bread. Again, these are all, I guess, similar metrics, but different metrics for determining how long is the stira, how long of a stira is required in order for her now to be usher to her husband. And Plimo follows up by saying the metric is how long it takes to pull out a loaf of bread from a basket. And he says, afal pi shein raya ledavar, zecher ledavar. He just says, I don't have a proof to you that that's the amount of time it takes, but I can give you a mnemonic, a simon for remembering how long, that's the amount of time that you use to determine this, because the pasuk says, ki ba'ad, the pasuk in Mishlei, ki ba'ad isha zona ad kikar lechem. It somehow connects a harlot, someone who's committing immoral acts, a woman who's committing immoral acts, to a loaf of bread. Okay, so that's his mnemonic. V'chol hani lamali. So why do you need all these descriptions? If you remember the very top line, it said kadei tuma, kadei bia, kadei ara, and then it said the actual metric kadei akafas dekel or etc. So why do you need all these? It's like as binchas yechidchas asher havchas. Right? Why do you need it to keep on repeating the description of what the time is. So the Gemara says, Tzrichi. You need all four descriptions. The Itana Kedei Toma, if it just said basically the amount of time it takes to defile, to commit the act, Havamina Kedei Tumasa Varitzosa. I might have thought that what it's describing is not just the actual act itself, but the amount of time it takes to seduce the woman. That they have to be in the room together for, I don't know, a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, however long it would take for a couple to normally get to that point where they're actually performing an act. Kamashman Kedei Bia. So it further defines it, not just as Kedei Tuma generally, but Kedei Bia, the time it actually takes to perform the act, not the more general time it takes, or not the longer time it takes in order to seduce her. Vitana Kedei Bia, and if it had just said Kedei Bia, Havamina Kedei Gemar Bia, I would have thought that it requires the full act, and not just what we described as ha'ara, not just the touching. So Kamashman Kedei ha'ara, in order to teach you that the amount of time it takes for you to be over the Isser, for that matter, is ha'ara, but also to describe the amount of time it takes is just that minimal amount of the two part body parts touching. V'yashmina Kedei ha'ara, if I just said that, Havamina Kedei ha'ara V'artzosa. If I would have just said that with no further description, I would have again reverted back to my original problem that I would have thought it takes the time to seduce her, to cajole her, and then to actually perform the act. Kamashman Kedei Tuma. So it kind of just circles back. So, you know, you kind of, once you have all these adjectives or all these verbs together, then you understand it's not just the act. It's not just the act. It's not the full act, it's just the touching, and it's not all those things with the seduction, it's just the actual thing. So by throwing in all the verbs together, you kind of whittle it down. Tosos goes through the whole, you know, the whole rigmarole of how you whittle it down to exactly what we're getting to. But what we're getting to is the point is that it's only the act of touching, and it's not the act of the full act, it's not the act of seducing also, and that's it. And then it says, finally, v'kama kedei ara, kedei kafas dekel. How do you, you know, what's a metric to determine this? We need some kind of objective metric. And the answer is kedei kafas dekel, the time it takes to go around a tree, or the other metrics that the other Amoraim offer. Okay, so that's where we are. So now the Gemara says, v'rimini. I have a problem because we have a competing brisa. We have some other brisa that seems to throw all this into disarray because it quotes a whole bunch of different shitas saying different amounts of time, right? We just kind of laid it out clearly. Rav Lazar says kedei mezigas kos, Rav Yishmael says kedei akafas dekel, etc. And now we're going to have a brisa that just seems to confuse all their different shitas together. So the Gemara says quotes this brisa v'nistra, right? You have to the she's usher to her husband once they are confirmed to have been secluded. V'kamashir stira, what is this amount of time that's considered secluded? Lo shamanu, I'm sorry, v'kamashir stira lo shamanu, kushuhu omer v'nitma, havei omer kedei tuma. Right, it wasn't clear just by describing it as stira, as seclusion, it's not clear what we're talking about, but the pasuk adds v'nitma, it's seclusion, where she presumably was defiled during that seclusion, then that explained or that reveals to us how long the seclusion needs to be in order to asser her onto her husband, and that is kedei bia, or I should say kedei tuma, kedei bia, kedei ara, kedei chazaras dekel divrei Rabbi Lazar. So now we're going to get into this whole litany of each of the shitas as we did above. So here, if you notice, above it said kedei akafas dekel, the amount of time it would take to run around the tree. Here we quote, and that was Rabbi Yishmael. Here we're quoting Rabbi Lazar is saying, "Kedei chazaras dekel," the time it takes for a tree to return. Like if you pull the tree, or if the wind bends the tree, how long does it take for the tree to return to its position? So that's Rabbi Elazar. Again, that's different than the Rabbi Lazar we said above, which is kedei mezigas kos, the amount of time it would take to dilute wine. So already we see there's something not right here. We're quoting different opinions as holding different things from what they said above. But via Zemei, Rav Lazar is saying the amount of time it takes for a tree to return to its place. Rabbi Yoshua Omer Kedei Mezigas Hakos. Rabbi Yoshua now is saying the amount of time it would take to dilute. That was the sheet of Rav Lazar up above. Benazai Omer Kadeg Lishtoso. Benazai says the amount of time it would take to drink the cup. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kadeg Litzlos Beitza. Rabbi Akiva says the amount of time it would take to fry an egg. Above he said the amount of time it would take to swallow an egg. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser Omer Kadeg Ligoma. Here it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser who says that it's the time it takes to swallow an egg. So what's going on here? We're going to have to reconcile all these shitos. So first the Gemara lays down, Kasalka Daitach, Hainu Hakafas Deko, Hainu Chazaras Deko. So the Gemara says, at the moment we're presuming that the shear of Hakafas Deko that we said in the first price, so the time it takes to go around the tree, is the same as the shear of Chazaras Deko, the time it takes for a Deko, for a tree to come back to its position after being blown by the wind. Gemara says, let's take that for granted. Let's assume that for a moment. So the Gemara says, Hasam Amrab Yishmael Kadei Hakafas Dekel Ukpolgar V'lazer Alei. Above, it was Rabbi Yishmael who described the time as the amount of time it takes to go around a tree. And Rav Lazar argued with him. Hacha Amr Rav Lazar Kadei Chazaras Dekel. And here it's Rav Lazar himself who seems to be saying that same shear that Rabbi Yishmael said above, which is to say the Chazar's Deko, the amount of time it takes for the tree to return, which we thought is the equivalent as the time it takes to go around the tree. And so what's going on? Up above, it was Rav Lazar was arguing with that Shita and saying, in fact, it's the time it takes to dilute wine. And here he seems to be adopting the Shita of Hakafas or Chazar's Deko. So Amar Abaye, Hakafa, Hakafa Beregel, Chazara Beruach. So good. Amar Abai. So Abai says, Hakafa Beregel, Chazara Beruach. So Abai says, actually, no, they're not the same amounts of time. Hakafa is running around on foot, and Chazara is the amount of time it takes for the wind to blow back. So they're not exactly the same amount of time. So that solves the problem. Maybe they're... It's not the same thing. That's the point. If it was the same thing, then we'd have a problem because Rav Lazar specifically said it's not the same time. Above, in the first place, Rav Lazar was saying it's not the same... It's not the amount of time it takes to go around the tree. And here he seems to be saying it is the amount of time that it takes for the tree to return. And so that would be a problem as we first understood it, those two metrics are the same. But once we explain now that they're not the same, one is on foot.
The sheet on the beginning of Kedem Mezik as a coast is the same thing as the...
As Chazaras Dekel is what we're saying. Yeah, right. That's the answer. That when he said Kedem Mezik as a coast above, that's the same as Chazaras Dekel, which is a different metric than Hakafas Dekel. Okay.
What
do we think in the first place? Because we figure anything about it, I guess...
It's a tree.
I don't know. You can get mathematical and say maybe, you know, the amount of time it takes for a tree to return there is like the circumference of the tree or something it takes to run around. I don't know. But whatever. That was the Gemara's Havamina. And now it clarifies as two different things. But we're going to keep on getting into these problems because that's not the only contradiction. So now Boy Rav Ashi asks the following: Chazara beruach ki hechil daazil v'hadar asi, odilma ki hechi daazil v'asi v'hadar kai beduchtei. So Rav Ashi is asking this idea of chazara beruach, the time it takes for the tree to return to its position, is that referring to just the time it takes for the tree to be bent and then return to its position? Or we know that even after the tree returns to its position, it continues to sway until finally it'll slow down and stop. So he's asking, is this shear the amount of time it takes for the tree to go like that and then back to its original position? Or is it the full amount of time it takes for the tree to keep on swaying until it comes to a stop? What's the answer? Teku. We don't know. It's not clear. Okay, now the Gemara is going to get back into the contradictions. Hasam Amar Rav Lazar Kedei Mezik Asakos. Above, it's Rav Lazar says it's the time it takes to dilute a cup of wine. Hacha Kedei Chazaras Dekel. And here it's the amount of time it takes for the tree to return to its position. So which one is it? Our answer is Idividi, as Matas suggested, Idividi Chad Shiru. It's the same amount. The amount of time it takes to dilute a cup of wine is the same amount of time it takes for the tree to return. Next contradiction. Hasam Amar Rabbi Yoshua Kedei Lishtoso. Above, Rabbi Yoshua said the shear was the amount of time it takes to drink a cup of wine. Hacha Amar Kedei Meziga Sakos. And here he says it's the amount of time to dilute the wine. So what's going on? So the answer is Ema Kedei Limzog Vilishtos. Really, they're both right. You have to combine both descriptions. And really, Rabbi Yoshua's shita is that it's the amount of time it takes to dilute the wine and then subsequently to drink it, which is a slightly longer time. Vilema idi vidi chachiruhu. Why don't you just say that the two are the same, like we had suggested, like, you know, our answer to Rabbi, the problem with Rabbi Lazar. Your answer is imkein hainu Rabbi Lazar. If you say that mezigas kos and shtias kos is the same amount of time, then it turns out that there's no machlokas between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Lazar in the first brisa, because in the first brisa, Rabbi Lazar said kedei mezigas kos, time of dilution. Rabbi Yoshua said the time of drinking it. And so why would they be in two descriptions if it's the same amount of time? So it's obviously that meziga and shtia, diluting and drinking, are two separate or two different amount of times, two different metrics. And therefore, the only answer to reconcile the two Rabbi Yoshua's is to say you combine the two, and his shear is the dilution plus the drinking. That's the amount of time. Okay, next contradiction. Hasam Amar ben Azai. Kedei litzlos speitza. Above it, say, Ben Azai said the amount of time it takes to fry an egg. Hach amar kedei lishtoso. And here he says the amount of time it takes to drink a cup of wine. Which one is it? The answer is idi vidi chachiruhu. It's one, it's the same. That's the amount of time. Next contradiction. Hasam amar Rabbi Akiva kedei lagoma. Above, Rabbi Akiva said it's the amount of time it takes to swallow an egg. Hach amar kedei litzlos speitza. Here he says it's the time it takes to fry an egg. Which one is it? Ema kedei litzlos speitza ulagoma. Combine them and say, okay, Rabbi Akiva Shita is the amount of time it takes to fry an egg and eat the egg. Vilema idi v'idi chad shiru. Why don't we go with the simpler answer that they are equivalent shirim? In Kain Hainu Ben Azai, you'd have that same problem where there's no machlokas if you say that those two shirim are the same, because Ben Azai said one, Rabbi Akiva said the other, and then what are they arguing about? Next contradiction. Hasam am Rabbi Yudu ben Beseira kedei ligmoa shalosh beitzim zuachar zu. Above, his description was the amount of time it takes to swallow three eggs one after another. Hacha amar kedei ligoma. And here he seems to be saying the amount of time it takes to swallow one egg. So which one is it? Is it the time it takes to swallow three eggs or the time it takes to swallow one egg? So the Gemara answer is l'dvarav d'Rabbi Akiva ka'amar. He's actually just describing, in this later brisa, he's describing how long Rabbi Akiva's shear is. D'ka'amar misharim bitzlio v'gmi. As we just described, Rabbi Akiva's shear is the time it takes to fry an egg plus to swallow an egg. And so Rabbi Beseira says, why are you getting so complicated, Rabbi Akiva, by describing two separate actions? That's complicated. Why don't you just describe it in terms of one act, meaning of just describe swallowing an egg, and then I have an equivalent. In other words, the time that you're describing as frying an egg and swallowing an egg, that's just as well described as swallowing three eggs. So ema shir gemia luchuda, just described in terms of swallowing, kedei gamea shalosh beitzim zu achar zu, dainu tzlia ugemia. That shir of swallowing three eggs is the equivalent of the shear of frying an egg and swallowing an egg. Okay. That's the description of all these amarim. We'll get back to, okay, we're going to clean this up a little more over the next few lines. Rabbi Elazar ben Yirmi Omer Kedei Shiyikshor Garde Nima. So his shear was tying together two ends of a string. Boy Rav Ashi Demirchako Demikrav. So Rav Ashi says, well, it's hard to know what that shear is. Are these strings far apart from each other? Are they close to each other? Do you have to stretch them? Are they wherever it is? So take it. We're not exactly sure what kind of strings or how far away they are. Chanin ben Pinchas Omer Kedisha Toshit Yadu Toch Pia Lito Kisam. His description was the amount of time it takes for a woman to grab a splinter from her mouth. Boy Rav Ashi de Mahadik o Duh Mahadik. Rav Ashi says, well, was the splinter very stuck in there? Was it hard to get out or easy to get out? Take it. It's not clear. We're not sure. Fine. Plimo Omer Kedisha Toshit Yadu Lisa Lito Kikar. His description was the amount of time it takes for a woman to put her hand in a basket to pull out a loaf of bread. Boy Rav Ashi, de Mahadek o de la Mahadek. Well, was the loaf of bread kind of stuck in there, so you have to wiggle it to get it out? That takes a little longer. Bechadaso batika, is it an old loaf of bread or a new loaf of bread? That's going to affect kind of how brittle it is and how delicate it is. Bechamimu bekarira, is it cold or hot? That's again going to affect how long it takes to take out, and you have to be careful not to burn yourself. Bechadasi bedchitio bedesari, is it a wheat bread or is it a barley bread? That's also going to affect how smooth it is, Rashi says, or how soft it is. Birakicho bakusha, is it soft or hard? Meaning all these are going to affect how long it takes to get the bread out. And the answer is teiku. We don't know the answer. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, ko echad v'echad ba'atzmo shir. So he points out importantly that when each of these Amoraim describe the amount of time it takes for the conjugal act to occur, so he says that they were all doing this based on their own personal experiences. That's how they were describing it. So to the extent that some of these metrics are, you know, very different from each other, right? The time it takes to swallow three eggs versus one egg, these are actually describing their personal experiences and how long it would take to do that. So the Gemara asks a fascinating question. Va'ika ben Azai, the Lanasiv. We know famously Ben Azai never got married. Gemara Yevamos tells us that Azai said, Nafshi chashcha b'Torah. I love Torah so much, I don't have time to get married. It's a distraction for my learning. So how did Ben Azai weigh in on this debate? He should have sat this one out. So the Gemara answers, Iba Yisema, Nasiv upire shava. So interestingly, when the Gemara in Yevamos says that Rav Azai never got married, maybe that just meant he never remarried. Maybe he was married, it didn't quite work out because he was always in the Beis Medrash, and then he just retired from marriage, and that's what he meant when he said Nafshi Chashka B'Torah. V'bay Seima Merabe Shamiele, or maybe he just had a tradition. He heard his Rebbe when his Rebbe was giving shir and describing the amount of time, and he adopted his Rebbe's position. V'bay Seima Yisod Hashem V'Yireyav. Or the third option is, look, he was a Talmud Chacham, he knew Kol HaTorah Kula, he was keyed into all elements of Chachma, and the Pasuk says, Sod Hashem V'Yireyav, that people who fear Hashem, they can kind of intuit how things work and what the answer is, and so on the basis of his Chachma, of his wide-ranging knowledge, and his Yiras Shemayim, he kind of knew how things work, and he knew... He was able to intuit the amount of time amount of time that it would take.
I don't know if I can ask a question.
Yeah.
In our religion, there's so much of exact measurements. When we just learned sukkah,
yeah,
and your tefillah, a quarter of a day. You know, there's so many that they couldn't come.
Right.
You think they know on an exact measurement between everybody. When it's so vague,
yeah,
you know, in other areas of halacha, we can be so exact on, you know, a sukkah's got to be this high, or you fill in the box, you know, everything is so exactly measured.
Yeah,
they could have come up with an exact measurement of time here.
Yeah, well, I think part of the problem is time is hard to measure. I mean, distances like sukkahs, you have an ami, you have a tebach. So time, I mean, Chazal always described time in terms of an analogy. Right, even like the amount of time that, you know, kedei achilas pras is the amount of time it takes to eat a certain thing, or the time it takes to say shalom alecha Rebbe Umori. You know, whenever we talk about time, the exception is the soda ibor where we actually describe chalakim, right? That's the exception. But is your question is why are they describing it in terms of analogies, or why is there a machlokas?
I'm saying so many machlokas. I'm saying
The answer is there's a machlokas about everything.
I understand, yeah. but we can usually come to in so many other areas a fine, pretty much definitive time.
Human relationships is very different than a physical element.
Yeah.
I know, but we're generalizing. We're not taking.
But maybe that's what gives rise to the confusion, meaning the fact that this is an area of life where not everyone's the same.
But these Adam don't know necessarily these people. I'm
right,
saying,
and so that's why we have to come up with an objective metric.
Right, but you would think that they can come to, like you said, Shlomo Aleichem Rebbe.
Right.
You know?
So they did. The answer is they did. I mean, they each posited, and then the halacha is like the Aruch HaShulchan I just quoted. They said they quoted the Dekel, I think, right? Is that what they said? Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, yeah. The time it takes to cook the egg and to swallow it, I think. Right. Yeah.
Is that a...
So we do Paskin, and yeah. That's I guess, you know, ultimately the Paskin one.
Their measurements are so big. It's not. Is it a smooth bread, a hard bread, a tight bread, a loose bread? It almost seems like they're trying to make a heterum or make it leave an opening.
Uh-huh.
For somebody to be monitor the woman.
To be monitor the woman, interesting.
Well, you know, wasn't really that
long. Right. Yeah, that's right. It's true that there are more tekus in this context than usual. Yeah. That's true.
That would lead to more hetero.
Which would lead to more hetero, maybe, yeah.
By saying,
yeah.
Well, it wasn't really that long.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the question on this with the answer? It doesn't seem to address the question. The question was that I thought that they all said from their own personal experience, even if you go with Ben Azai, except for the one that says... They got married in Parish, it doesn't really...
Yeah, I guess the Gemara is saying that Ben-Azai was the exception to that. Yeah, that's the way it seems to be saying, yeah. Unless the first answer. The first answer was he did know.
The first answer
would be...
Yeah,
of a Parish.
The other answer can't be...
Yeah, that's right. The other answers are all saying that he was the exception, right. Okay. Okay, here we go. Now we're going to switch topics. Darash Rav Avira... Zimnin Amrle Mishmeid Ravi Ami. So sometimes Rabbi Avira would quote this in the name of Ravi Ami. Vizimnin Amrle Mishmeid Ravasi. Sometimes he would quote it in the name of Ravasi. Kala Ocha Lechem Belon Tilos Gadayim Ki Luba Isha Zona. Someone who eats bread without washing their hands properly with Natilos Gadayim, it's as if he has been with a Isha Zona, with a harlot. Shneamar Ki Bad Isha Zona. Ad kikar lechem. They quote a pasuk where these two concepts are put together. This is the pasuk we quoted on the first on Amud Aleph that an isha zona is somehow related to a kikar lechem. So just let's just review. In the Mishnah Berurah, he has a good summary of what's the basis for this whole thing of washing on bread. Why are we doing this? So the Mishnah Berurah says tam takanas natilo mishnei dvarim. There are two bases, two reasons for the takan of natilo siyadayim. Echad mipnei srach tuma. Truma. That this is to remind us of truma. Vainu kevan diadayim askaniosim. We generally assume that our hands are very busy. They end up touching all sorts of things. Vinogim b'chol davar. They touch all sorts of things. Uvizman shayanoig tuma vitara. At the time in the old days, the time of the Beis Mikdash, when people were cognizant of tuma and tara. Vakohanim achlu b'truma. It was important to know what was tara and what was tamei because the kohanim would eat truma. You're not allowed to eat truma tamea. If truma is tame, that's a lav. So you're not allowed to, the Kohanim are not allowed to eat truma tamea. And so they had to know what was tar and what was tame. V'hayutzrichim lito yadeyam midivrei sofrim kodem achilas truma kedeshu yitamua b'negiyasan. So even if you didn't think you were tame, Chazal made a rule that whenever you're going to eat truma, you have to wash your hands before you eat truma, because we're afraid that your hands might have touched something that was tameh. Ukadesh yu regilim ha-kohanim bazeh, in order to ensure that the Kohanim would be very careful about this, gazru al gam kein al kol ish Yisrael ha-ochel pas, sha'asr lecha ad shi'yitol yadav. So they made this enactment universal, and they said no person, not even a Yisrael, not a Levi, not a Kohen, no one can eat bread without first washing their hands. Again, it was to ensure that when the Kohanim would eat truma, they would do so b'tahara. The gam achshav, and even nowadays, shein ha-kohanim ochlim truma b'nei ha-tuma. Nowadays, there's no such thing as truma. The Kohanim don't eat truma because of tuma. L'batu takana zu. We're keeping this in place. K'deishiyu regilim b'nei Yisrael k'shiyubana b'es ha-mikdash meherav yameinu lechol b'tahara. So that meher yubana ha-mikdash will be back in a position where we're eating truma b'tahara, and we'll all still be careful about Netilas Yadayim. That's the first reason. Ve'otam, v'takanas nedilo. The second reason is Mishum Nekiyus HaKedusha, a more esoteric, spiritual reason that this is because we want to kind of keep holy, keep Kadosh. V'samchu b'gemar akra v'yiskadashtem v'yisem kadoshim. it's a good thing to keep your hands just as a takana of kedusha. But the first answer is a little more particular. It's because of srach truma that we want to make sure that Meheri Yivan HaMikdash, that we'll all eat, or the Kohanim will eat truma b'tahara. So that's the basis for it. And here's some agadita to say how important this point is. Fine. The top Tosos here try to reconcile other Gemaras, which say, you know, our Gemara, it says it's Kilu Bali Shazona. There are other Gemaras that say that you're going to become poor. There are other Gemaras that say you're going to die. So the Gemara kind of tries to reconcile, is it someone who's always doing these things? You know, you're always Mezalzel in the Tehillas Yadayim, or you were only one time Mezalzel in the Tehillas Yadayim. That's the top Tosos here. Okay. Amarava. So the Gemara now quibbles, Rava now quibbles with the use of this pasuk, because the pasuk doesn't exactly match up. It sounds like kind of the subject and the action don't exactly relate to this idea that someone who doesn't wash Netilas Yadayim is ki'u ba'al isha zona. Amarava, hai ba'ad isha zona ad kikar lechem. It says, ba'ad isha zona ad kikar lechem. It should have said that as a result of not washing properly on bread, meaning as the result of bread, so then you're analogized to an isha zona. So Rava just doesn't like the way this pasuk fits. Elama Rava kaba isha zona l'sof mevakesh kikar lechem. He interpreted it differently. Someone who has improper relations with a promiscuous woman, with a harlot, is going to come to not have money, and he's going to end up begging for bread. That's how he understands the pasuk. Amar Rav Zrika, Amar Rav Elazar, kol mezalzel b'netilas yadayim nekar min ha'olam. Someone who is not careful about netilas yadayim is going to be uprooted from the world. Amar Rav Yechia bar Ashi, Amar Rav, mayim rishonim. Okay, so now they're going to talk about a particular halacha about how you do the washing. So mayim rishonim, the washing that you do before you eat bread, tzarech shiagbia yadav l'mala. So you have to be careful not to, after you've washed, or as you're washing, not to incline your hands downward. You should really incline them upwards. As opposed to mayim achronim, the mayim that you do, you know, the washing your hands you do before benching, tzarech shiyashbia yadav l'mata. There you should incline your hands downward so that the water drips down. Someone who washes his hands has to incline his hands upwards, and here's the reason: Shema Yetsu Hamayim Chutz LaPerek V'Yachzru V'Yitamu Es Hayadayim. We're worried that the water is going to go past the point and then come back. Rashi explains in detail here that the concern is the reason we wash twice on each hand is because the first splash of water is to get rid of the tumah. But the problem then is that there's residual wetness on your hand that's tumah by virtue of having touched your tumah hands. And so we do a second splash of water to kind of wash away that tumah water, so now you're good to go. And the concern here, as Rashi explaining the Gemara we just read, is that you're going to splash water on your hands. Now, the part of your hands that Chazal decreed as tamei, as presumptively tamei, is ara perek, is until the wrist, right? So we're concerned that you're going to splash your hands with the first splashing. That's going to make all this water tamei. But maybe some of the water will seep above that area. Then you're going to do the second splashing of water to get rid of the tamei water. But that second splashing is going to be limited to the hand itself, and it's not going to go past the wrist, perhaps. And then you're in a position where you have some tumah water still lingering above the wrist. And then if your hand is like this, that water is going to go back down and defeat the purpose of that second splashing. And so that's why you're supposed to keep your hand inclined like this, so that therefore, even if that first splashing went past the wrist and the second splashing didn't get that, it's not so terrible because the water just goes that way or it dries up rather than reinfecting your hand. As opposed to mayim achronim, where the whole purpose has nothing to do with tumah, the mayim achronim has to do with melach sedomis, with bad stuff that from the food that's going to infect your eye. It's going to be, you know, we want more. It's more of a hygienic reason, and so therefore, there it's not a problem, or it's good for the water to kind of go down and come off your hand And so there you should have your hand like this rather than like this, where it's going to, I guess, linger and cause problems. So that's the reason for this distinction. Tanya nami achi no shemitzvah mayim chutz brak v'yachzur miyatam v'siyadayim. Good. Amar Rabbi Avo, ka ochel pas b'lo nigov yadayim, someone who eats bread without washing his hands, ki lo ochel lechem tameh. I'm sorry, without drying. I'm sorry, b'lo nigov yadayim, without drying your hands, ki lo ochel lechem tameh, it's as if he's eaten tameh bread. Shneemar v'yomer Hashem, kacha yochu b'nei Yisrael eslachmam tameh, etc. Umay v'eishas ish nefesh yikar tatsud. So what is this pasuk referring to? Eishas ish nefesh yikar tatsud. Am Rabbi Chia bar Abba, am Rabbi Yochanan, kol adam sheish bo gasas haruach. So now we're changing topics. Now we're done with Nitil Sedai. Now we're going to talk about gasas haruach, which is haughtiness. Kol adam sheish bo gasas haruach. Someone who's haughty, v'basof nechshal be'eishas ish. He's going to, in the end, violate the rules of Eishas Ish. He's going to be intimate with someone else's wife. Shenemar be'eishas ish nefesh yikara tatsud. Because an Eishas Ish nefesh yikara tatsud is going to be chased after someone with nefesh yikara, someone who views his nefesh as very high, meaning someone who's very high on himself, someone who's haughty, is going to end up chasing an Eishas Ish. So again, here Rava quibbles with the duk-duk. Amrava, hi nefesh yikara nefesh gevoa mi boilei. First of all, nefesh yikara isn't referring to someone who is haughty, yet nefesh yikara refers to someone who has a pristine nefesh or a clean nefesh. It should say nefesh gevoa. If this were referring to someone who's haughty, it should say someone with a heightened nefesh, a haughty nefesh. Ve'od, and furthermore, hi tatsud mi boilei. It should have said hi tatsud to make the subject back to the beginning, right? It said, what was the pasuk? Eishas ish nefesh yikara hi tatsud. That it's going to chase after that eishas ish. So Rava doesn't like the diktuk. He doesn't like that pasuk. He doesn't think it fits the message. Amar Rava kol abal eishas ish afilu lama Torah. So someone who is intimate with an eishas ish, with a married woman, even if he is someone who's a talmid chacham, that's what this pasuk is alluding to. Even if he's a Talmud Chacham, and that's what the Nefesh Yikara is referring to, Dechsiv ba Yikara hi mi bifnim, the pasuk refers to Torah as very beautiful, right? Very very pristine, very lofty. Mikoin gadol shenichnas lufnai v'lifnim, and someone who learns Torah is even on a higher level than a Kohen Gadol who goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So even a Talmud Chacham who is with an Eishas Ish, so that chait is going to chase him to a din shel Gehenim. He's going to end up in Gehenim. That's what Rava says. The more direct understanding of that pasuk is to say that someone is with an Eishas Ish is going to end up being punished. Am Rav Yochanan Mishum Mishum Ben Yochai Kol Adam Sheish Bo Gasas Haruach Ki Ovid Avodas Kol Chavim. So he says that someone who is very haughty is like an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Ksiv Hacha, on the one hand, the pasuk says, Toavas Hashem Kol Gvaleiv, that someone who is very haughty is a Toeva, is an abomination. V'ksiv Hasam V'lo Savi Soeva El Beisecha, don't bring an abomination into your house, referring to Avodah Zarah. So you see the word Toeva is used in the context of Gas Ruach, someone who is very haughty. And it's also used in the context of Avodah Zarah. So that brings you to the conclusion that someone who's very haughty is like someone who worships Avodah Zarah. Rav Yochanan Didei Amar Ki'u Kafar V'Ikar. He says that it's as if, right, the first memra was he was quoting Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Here he himself says that someone who is a Gas Ruach is like someone who is Kofar V'Ikar. He's fundamentally a heretic. The idea being, if you think you're so great, it's like you're challenging Hashem's greatness. Shneemar v'ramu v'avcha v'shachachta es Hashem alkecha. Your heart is very high, you're haughty, and as a result, you're going to forget Hashem, or it's equivalent to forgetting Hashem. It's as if you're a heretic. Rav Chama bar Chanina amar kilu ba'al kol arayos. Someone who is haughty, it's as if you are violating all the arayos, you're violating all the acts of immorality, all categories of immorality. How do you know that? Ksiv hacha toivas Hashem kol gvalev. On the one hand, it says that someone is very haughty as a toiva. Ksiv hasem kias kol toivos ha'el. In the Parsha of Arayas, it refers to them all as abominable acts. And so therefore, that commonality of the word toiva in both contexts shows that a haughty person is like someone who is violating all sorts of immoral acts. Ua amar ki ulu bana bama. Ua says that if you're haughty, it's as if you built a bama. You're not allowed to build a bama. There were certain times in Jewish history where you were allowed to build a bama, but after the Beis Hamikdash was built, no longer able to build a bama. Shnemar chadlu lachem min ha'adam asher neshama biapo ki vama vame nechashev nechshavu. So the pasuk says, it's referring to someone who is haughty, right? Asher neshama biapo, his soul is in his nose. It's as if he's very haughty, thinks very highly of himself. Who it's as if he feels very highly of himself. And then the pasuk says, "Ki vamen nechshavu." Like what is he? What should he really be thought of? As if to say he's nothing. And he turns the word bameh. Al tikrei bameh el abama. He has a play on the word and says, referring to abama, to a, you know, a personal altar. My yad lo yad lo yinakeh. This is referring to an earlier pasuk above. So Amar Rav. So here the girsa changes significantly. Here Rav, the girsa we have is kol abal ishes ish. But everyone, Rashi and the Bach, both change it to kol sheish bo gasos haruach, because we're on the topic of gasos haruach, not on adultery. So this pasuk of yad lo yad lo yinakeh is referring to someone who is very haughty. Even if he has granted heaven and earth to Hashem, like Avram Avinu, like Avram Avinu, d'chsiv be harimos yadi al Hashem kel alyon kanei shemayim v'aretz. And in Avram's description of Hashem, he refers to Hashem as the owner, the creator of earth, heaven and earth. So it's as if Avram Avinu has granted heaven and earth to Hashem. So even someone who's kind of done that on the level of Avram, of, you know, acknowledged Hashem's dominion over heaven and earth, like Avram, still lo yinaka midino kishoganim, he will not be cleansed of the din of Gehenim. He's going to go to Gehenim as a result of his gasas haruach, of his haughtiness. So the Gemara says, kashihu debe Rebbe Shila. Rebbe Shila had a problem with this. Ha yad lo yad lo yinaka yadai. Me, by the way, the pasuk said yad li yad, a hand to a hand, whereas Avram Avinu was harimosi yadai, my hands are kind of acknowledging Hashem as he's the creator of heaven and earth. So why is it yad li yad? It should have said yadai, like it says in the context of Avram Avinu, if that was the point the pasuk was trying to make. Ela amri debe Rabbi Shila afilu kibel Torah kmo sharabenu. It's saying that a haughty person, not comparing the haughty person, not saying that even if the haughty person was like Avram Avinu, that he granted Shemayim Varas to Hashem, but rather saying, even if the haughty person received the Torah and internalizes the Torah like Moshe Rabbeinu, Dechsiv Bey, Mi Mino Ish Das Lamo, from his right hand, it's considered a fiery law, well, Yinaka Midina Shal Gehenim, he will not be cleansed of the din of Gehenim, meaning, Yad Liyad is not an allusion to Avram Avinu because that's Yadai. Rather, Yad Liyad is an allusion to Moshe Rabbeinu because there it says referred to one hand. So the Gemara then says, Kashli Rav Yochanan, Hai Yad Liyad, Miyad Mi Baile. The Pasuk's referring seems to be saying two hands, from one hand to another hand, whereas the Pesukim by Moshe Rabbeinu were referring to something in action with one hand, that he received the Torah with one hand. So what's this Yad Liyad? It can't be Avram Avinu because that's talking about, again, Yadai, my hands. It can't not one hand to another hand, but rather two hands together. It can't be Moshe Rabbeinu because that's referring to one hand. So what's it talking about? Yad Liyad? Elam Rabbi Yochanan afilu oset staka b'seiser. It's referring to someone who gives staka quietly. Dechsiv matam b'seiser yichape af. Even he, meaning Yad Liyad is referring to someone who gives tzedakah from one hand to another hand, and saying that even someone who's on the level of giving tzedakah, giving tzedakah privately quietly, he will not, and he's over the problem of gas ruach, he's a haughty, he will not be saved from the din of Gehenna.
Go ahead. Okay.